Richard.
Second comment.
Anybody have him?
What's his name?
Richard Comment.
You have it, sir?
Yeah, Richard Comment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You're referring before the Arizona Board of Executive Dependency in reference to information revision revocation this afternoon. Could you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Richard Anthony Fairman Jr., ABC number 297339.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to go to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To my very far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his left is the Honorable Gail Woodenhouse. To her left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal. I'll be the panel lead today. And to my left is the Honorable Roy Canoas. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections. And I'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received the notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you notified your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I am representing myself today.
All right. At this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if your terms and conditions of your committee supervision have been violated. And if not violated, then in phase two, we will determine whether your committee supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is read the one allegation that's on your warrant, and after I do so, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Okay, allegation number one is violation of Arizona conditional supervision. Number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to a face-to-face contact visit on or about February 28, 2018, as verbally directed on February 23, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision, thus you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
Thank you, sir. Well, based on the admission of Mr. Pinion, I'm going to move to find that he's delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canoas, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Woodenhouse. Okay, sir. We're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Kerr is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone and I'll get right back with you. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Pena was released from ADC custody on 12-8-2017 and arrested on 5-28-2018 by Tucson PD. No new charges are noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 5-28-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 1-7-2019 with 89 absconded. Current conviction, 2009, robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2013, burglary second degree, 3 years and 6 months. No prior convictions are noted. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4-4, mental health score of 4, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. No prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with promoting contraband, drugs, and aggravated assault noted. Other arrests, 2002, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, threat intimidation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, robbery, Arizona juvenile probation. 2012, burglary tool possession, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2013, aggravated assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2013, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2013, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2013, threat intimidation, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. He has a GD score of G3, V4.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Payne, we're going to go over a summary of case supervision. So you released to food residence with your grandfather, Richard King, at 235 East Louisiana Drive in Tucson. Did you stay there the whole time you were out, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you had a job at Taco Bell?
Yes, sir, I did.
Very good, very good. Were you working pretty much the whole time you were out?
Yes, I was working the whole time. Can I make a statement about where I was from March to when I got picked up at my house? The house came to my house and I opened the door and it was a surprise. It wasn't when I picked up at more recent. But can I explain what happened and explain like anything right now, or do I just try to go right now?
Okay, well, why didn't you, I guess, you were scounded by not going in for your face-to-face. Why didn't you go see your PO?
Well, this is what was going on. I was placed on the SMRT residential because I had excessive sense of mental health crisis. So I have a power of attorney, which was put in place, which is my father, Richard I. McKinney Sr., which states ordered for judge, from the judge, the states for my dad to have full communication with the world and the courts, each of the unpredictable members of me, because of my set of psychosis. For all those giving the copies of my power of attorney of the appointment on February prior to me issuing the appointment. So what I'm trying to say is, when I got out of the DOC, I was on off my medications for something like about 2 months for me to get on medications. And then, in the beginning of March, right after I had missed that appointment for me, I didn't know. I was unaware of the violation because I was just working and my mental situation was not completely accurate for the communication with parole and my group of people that are my core community services and my power of attorney was not seeming like there was no communication between that they should have been having my power of attorney should have been made in a position to have complete authorization to make sure I went to these appointments. But on the beginning of March, I was walking to meet my sister, and while I was missing all the time, I didn't come to check in or come to my statement. I was going to meet my sister for dinner. I was shot multiple times. I was robbed, and my face was crushed by these people that I was victimized from. I guess I was picked up. I woke up in the trauma center at Banner in early March, which I was unable to walk. I underwent plastic surgery as well. For almost 7 months, I was MIA, and I was on my medication. I was in a state of mind that I was unstable, and I was referred to physical therapy, and I was sent home after weeks in the hospital. My medication was shot because of my miss of the home appointments, which made me unstable. And I know that I didn't have the ability to go to my sister's prior parole. But my grandparents were not in town for March to May and could not direct me to report. Now medications, as of now, I'm at a third grade level mentally, and I respectfully ask for her reinstatement to a new address if they accept cortisol. I am asking for my SMI to be understood and ask my power of attorney to be placed in position to facilitate my appointments and all directives set forth by my parole so that I can adjust and comply with parole directives. I do not want to be a family. I was trying to do my best to my best abilities to comply. My mental illness is severe and it is not anything that I am trying to make excuses for. I did this at a point, but not because I was trying to be the final are not completely vulnerable, and I was just not in the bad state of mind where I put my mid-rational decision. My cognitive function is below normal baseline, where I cannot make rational decisions, which is why I have a power of attorney, and why I was put on a case of religious on this topic, I guess on the system in my part, where it was not like verbally or documents were not exchanged. The woman was giving the documents, the news was in place, but it was like, when we started to do that, where we, everybody, the income staff, were meeting at the beginning, my initial intake to establish all this information. I have leases and, for the Johnson, yes, sir.
Okay, let me get this, you said you were shot while you were on the road, or on the beach? Okay, and this power of attorney, they put your, who is it that's got the power of attorney?
It's my father.
Okay, so your father has the power of attorney, and he's supposed to make, he's supposed to have the contact with the parole office and make your decisions for you?
Well, just, not necessarily my phone, it's a side kind of report by the judge, because knowing my mental illness, I've had it for most of my life, and knowing that I was being released from DOC, it just was not properly communicated and prior to my release. So my dad was inside of me, I was released to Tucson, and it was miscommunication on all of our parts, just as far as why my mindset was not able to comply with the world as far as once that face to face.
Okay, wouldn't one of the two of you have thought that it might be a good idea to notify your PO that you got shot and you were in the hospital? Because you had to have police contact. If you were shot, you had police contact, and that's the condition of your release, is that you're supposed to contact the PO.
I was unconscious. I didn't know that the police, like I said, my mental illness is not something that I try to gratify or try to use as an excuse. I'm just trying to say that why I was scared, I was at my house all the time, I threw off some everything, and I didn't know that I was not in compliance, I wasn't going to have my, I didn't know my reality was not, like, because now I'm on medication, I think, for a month and a half, my brain condition was eating up, but as far as for the 2 months that I was not, trying to pull the people face to face, or even asking me how, why I'm not an appointment, was because I was in the hospital and I just got my face crushed in. I had plastic surgery and I was shot, and I couldn't even walk, but my family, which I was released to, I was living in home, they were out of town for those 2 months, and then when finally, I guess, I shot into the house, but...
Okay, so... I don't understand that. I mean, if your father had the power of attorney and the court told him that he was supposed to help you make all your communications, why didn't he understand that you were on release and that you had a parole officer and you had to keep in touch with him? Because it shows that in the warrant shows that you were supposed to make an appearance at the parole office on the 28th of February. That was before you got shot, right?
Yes, sir.
And then you were told that verbally on the 23rd of February, which was before you got shot, but you didn't show up for that one. When did you get shot?
It was early, it was probably like the, maybe the 8th of March. I'm not exactly sure, but I...
Okay, because... Okay, so... March 5th, there was a non-compliance letter sent on the 2nd of March by your PO that was mailed to your the residence where you were supposed to be staying, and it said you were supposed to be put on March 5th, which again, it sounded like it was before you got shot. So by the 19th, which you would have been, from what you're saying, you would have been in the hospital by then. If your father would have contacted the PO at that time, he probably would still be out on release.
No, I understand. understand that, my father.
So I would not. Okay, but now you're, so you have these mental health issues and everything. Since you've been reincarcerated, have they been treating you? Are you back on your meds?
Yes, sir, I'm in the SMI program, I'm a recon in Victoria.
Okay.
I'm an on-site unit.
All right, I'm gonna see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Canales?
Just a very quick one. Mr. Peña?
Yes, sir.
The one thing I understand is, you said you were shot, you were staying at your grandparents' house, they weren't there. Who was taking care of you? That's a pretty serious injury.
Yeah, exactly. I was released from the hospital. One of my cousins is a sophomore at University of Arizona, which I had picked me up. She dropped me up at my house at my grandmother's, and that's where I stayed for 2 months. I was there. People were supporting the house. I ordered pizza. I had a job. I had money at the time, saved up. I was there just really good. I've barely been, like, the last couple of weeks, I've barely been able to get my parents to walk a little bit more there. I was there by myself, and my family came. My dad was not aware of me not even being, like, as far as, like, my dad was not involved in with me nursing me. I was trying to take care of myself. I didn't go to the trauma appointments or my physical therapy because I couldn't make it more, so I was pretty much living on wounds.
Why didn't your father know you'd been shot?
He is living in Salamanca, and he is not in the room with my immediate family. My grandmother and grandfather, they don't speak, and that's why he was not fully aware at the time, I guess. I'm not really sure. I've been situational for 3 weeks here, working with the different families, trying to gather information, exactly what went on as far as my dad and, like, contacting the room, because my power of attorney, the information was given, like, in real favor of my room, so they were murdered on the point with them, so they could, this was trying to already be established between my parole and my family, but then I had a full-time job as well.
Okay, sir. You answered the question, I appreciate it, but I think we're kind of steering away from the original question. I just, I want to understand where your family was, so thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Canales. Any other questions? Okay, sir. Mr. Turner.
I'd like to read a couple of RMS notes that the parole officer put in. On 3-5-2018, offender contacted Peter Nuno, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, today to advise he needs treatment as he is having difficulties with his paranoia. Offender directed to report to the Tucson Regional Parole Office today by 4 p.m. to discuss options for treatment. Offender failed to report as directed. On 3-19-18, assigned parole officer contacted 4 different local hospitals in Tucson. Offender was not known at any of these facilities.
Thank you. Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion and make a determination in a couple of minutes, but before we do that, would I give you an opportunity to make a final statement? Tell us anything else you think might be pertinent to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat the information that you've already given us. Just anything else new that you might think we need to know? So it's now's the time for that, sir.
Okay. The statements I already made are no excuses or facts. If release forms need to be made to make this information available to you guys, I will do so. I'm asking if you guys are going to hear me stating here if I can be released, approach of a new approved address in Gilbert, Arizona, which my support group is stronger and my family members are there. And we'll have my power of attorney will be changing at the end of 2019 to my aunt, and I have that information as well if you guys want.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we ask you to remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear the whole conversation, and after we've made a decision, I'll get back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Now, this is definitely an unfortunate situation. Mr. Pena apparently has some ongoing mental health issues, and as he got out, got released, was medication worked right, things weren't going well. He says he got shot and was in the hospital. His father is supposed to have power of attorney and should be making communications or helping him make communications, but there was contact with his PO when he was out. It's apparent that the PO was trying to work with him. If somebody would have told the PO that he'd been shot and was in the hospital, I'm sure he wouldn't be in front of us today. I just, with the mental health issues, I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. I think it'd be better served if he continued on his medication there and made a plan for some mental health treatment when he's out in January. But I don't want to listen to any discussion from any of my fellow board members.
Just a very quick follow-up, and that was that there were issues with him following the rules of community supervision before the injury, so I just want to make sure that that was clear. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That is a good point. So based on all the information in warrant number 2018W0944, Mr. Pena's testimony and information from DOC, I'm moved to revoke community supervision of Mr. Pena. As a delinquent, violated term condition of supervision, and had lapse or without lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Pena, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. We would, suggest that you continue your mental health treatment there in while you're incarcerated and see if you can get things stabilized and make a good plan for when you get out. If you need continuing treatment, which it sounds like you will, you can get with your sponsors and your support and make plans for how you're going to deal with that issue when you get out. Have a good solid plan, get your support behind you. And when you get out, you'll be able to succeed in life, okay? And we do wish you the best of luck. And we hope that you're successful, okay?
I will, and I appreciate you guys' consideration. Thank you, guys.
Okay. This is Andrew Henry, and we can see a few back and forth, please.
Okay.